Welcome back to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. I'm Randy Eccles, along with co-host Bea Bonner. This is a special version of Community Voices in that we're at the year-end drive. So not only are we getting to know our neighbors and hearing what's going on in the community, but we're also asking you to support our ability to do this. And you can make a donation by going to nprillinois.org and clicking on the donate button at the top right of the website, or you can call 206-9847 and make a donation with your credit card that way. You could also send a check into our address if you want, but the first two are probably the most efficient. So we appreciate you, especially if you've already given, thank you. So today's segment here is featuring a friend of the station and a former staff member, Jamie Dunn Thomason. Jamie, thank you for joining us today. And would you just do a short introduction of yourself?
Sure, I'm thrilled to be here. As you mentioned, I am a former employee of NPR Illinois. And I think once you're in the public radio family, you never really leave. I'm just always thrilled to chat with you all and be involved in what the station has going on and volunteer anytime I can. Because I really believe in public radio and great news. But now I am working for the Institute of Government and Public Affairs, which is at the University of Illinois system level. And basically what we do is we tap the University of Illinois system's world-class faculty and research into the policy world. So into conversations that are happening in policy to try to help folks that are looking to kind of tackle the big challenges that our state is facing, be armed with great research and great data when they're looking to address some of those policy questions. We're pretty focused on fiscal and we're kind of known for budget issues, but in the recent past, we've started branching out into more education, looking at substance use disorders, and really just trying to kind of map the research that's happening at the U of I onto these big challenges that we face as a state.
That's great. And Jamie is also kind enough to serve on our NPR Illinois Community Advisory Board. So thank you for doing that, Jamie.
Yeah, that's such a great experience. It's such a wonderful group of people that are really tapped into what's going on in the policy world and in our community and across the state. It's a great mix of folks who really care a lot about public radio and care a lot about being involved in making sure that your listeners get all the news they need. So it's a lot of fun. It's a pleasure to be able to serve on that board.
One of the things that Jamie was able to bring to our attention in her role with the IGPA is the COVID journaling that's being done as a project at UIUC. Jamie, can you tell us more about that? We did feature it on a couple different Community Voices, but refresh our memory, Jamie.
Sure. So that's a statewide initiative, but we have some folks here locally that are doing it. And it's a really great project. It's folks just taking some time every week to tell us a little bit about how they are faring during the pandemic. And it's very geared towards what they're doing to make it through. So you would think it might be kind of, maybe sad and there are those moments, but there's a lot of focus on resiliency and strategies that folks have that, the hope is to be able to share that among communities. So maybe someone else who is out there struggling right now can hear from someone who has found a strategy to help them cope and take from that. And it's really meant to create this sense of community around, all the challenges that folks are facing right now. And so folks, even though we have to be alone in a lot of this and be apart, folks won't feel as alone and can find some strategies and some hope.
How have you, Jamie, been dealing with the pandemic and staying, happy? Just kind of like these segments did. They kind of brought some different perspectives and everything. We kind of got to see how other people are dealing with the pandemic. But how are you dealing with the pandemic and staying entertained and kind of just enjoying life right now?
Sure, B. Well, I think as I've heard a lot of folks say, my family has kept me sane. We're all kind of cooped up in the same house, but it's been really mostly wonderful. And I have a little girl who's a toddler, and she is just a source of constant, you know, entertainment and fun. And I think that our kids especially help us remember what's important during these times, and remember to try to find joy where we can. I will say public radio has been a huge source of comfort for me. I turn it on as soon as I get up in the morning. It's on through most of the day. You know, if I do have to turn it off during the day, I'm back in the evenings. So I know it can be a little anxiety inducing to have the news on all the time, but for me as a news junkie, it is a comfort to make sure that I know what I need to know, and I can just throw it on in the background and know that I didn't miss anything, especially when it comes to wanting to know about what's going on with the pandemic and vaccines and all of that. I feel like I'm very up to speed on where I need to be to make sure that, you know, my family's taking the right steps to protect ourselves, and also to have an idea of when we've got maybe some light at the end of the tunnel coming here eventually. So,
how did you become a self-proclaimed news junkie?
Well, I worked as a reporter for quite a few years covering state government for Illinois Issues Magazine first, and then we merged with NPR Illinois. And so, you know, just that experience definitely made me very focused on especially state government, but as time has gone on, I've become a lot more interested in what's going on in Springfield as well. And I really enjoy Mary Hansen's reporting on Springfield and local government. Definitely gotten more into that as I've lived in Springfield longer. But I was a public radio fan even before I was a reporter. I remember even as a kid, you know, family members having it on and in the background and watching PBS as a kid. And so I think it's kind of just been in my blood for a pretty long time.
I really enjoyed PBS too. I was just talking to a friend yesterday about all the cool shows that used to be on there. And we were also talking about NPR and just how it expands our learning. And it makes, I don't know, it just made me want to get more into, I guess, the public media world. I think it has this thing where it entraps you in there. It makes you want to get in there more. So I definitely understand that. But I also saw that you are a former PAR grad.
I am, yeah. So I came through the public affairs reporting program through University of Illinois Springfield. And that program is incredible. If anyone is considering wanting to be a reporter, looking at wanting to cover government specifically, it's a great experience. You get to work under a seasoned journalist in the state house and cover state government. And it's an internship, but it doesn't feel like an internship. You're not fetching coffee. You're a reporter and you're getting bylines and you're doing, you know, real reporting work. It absolutely changed my life and set me on the trajectory to be doing the kind of work that I'm doing now, which I love. So yeah, it's a great program, and I would recommend it to anyone who's listening who, you know, has an interest in being a reporter. I know there's been some kind of renewed interest in political reporting and more students considering journalism school. And PAR is a great experience. If you're looking to go to J school, I would check it out.
Yeah, really. And in a year or less than a year, you get your graduate degree. And so that's a pretty impressive and efficient way to get your master's.
It is. It's very efficient and affordable, I will say. So when you look at some of the costs for a master's degree, especially, it's a pretty good deal. And it gets you good real life experience and clips to show when you're out there looking for your first job, which is really very key. You know, that's what folks are looking for. So, but B, I just kind of want to touch a little bit on what you were talking about with the public media sphere, you know, of how it just pulls you in more and more. I totally just agree with that. And it made me think of how, you know, my husband kind of teases me because I get so many recipes from public radio and books. And so I'll cook something and I'll be like, oh, it was an NPR recipe, or I'll be reading a book that I heard about on public radio and on NPR Illinois. And so it's not just news. I know I'm very focused on news, but there's just so many things that you can get from public radio that are enjoyable and obviously a nice distraction right now. I know a lot of folks are cooking and reading more, and both of those things are just really great assets culture that comes through public radio as well. So
a great reason to support NPR Illinois is those type of cultural and lifestyle things that are available along with the news, and also, you know, so that we can supervise PAR interns and help them grow into journalists. Quite a few of the journalists you hear on NPR or have heard on NPR Illinois have come through the VAR program. It's a great way for us to participate in developing future journalists. And that does take some resources to make happen. And you can help us with those resources by going to nprillinois.org and making a donation or calling 206-9847.
Now, Jamie, I wanted to talk a little bit more about your current job. What's your favorite part about being there and doing work?
So I am definitely a bit of a wonk and I love policy. And when I was looking at this job, my husband said, I think this might be your dream job. And he's not wrong. I very much enjoy being able to bring the research and, you know, just evidence-based information to policy. Folks that set policy just have such a challenging job, and there's so much information out there, and they're kind of, you know, you just have things coming from all sides when they're looking to make a policy. And so I really appreciate and value the ability to be able to bring forth this research that can kind of help guide folks when they're looking to make policy and let them know, for instance, you know, this has been tested and has been a bit more effective, or this maybe worked in another state and we've seen some cost savings. And so it's not coming from a political perspective. It's not coming from an advocacy perspective. It's more arming folks with facts and, you know, solid research so that they can make the best policy possible to help improve the lives of people in our state. And that may sound a little hokey or a little Pollyannish, but it's wonderful to be a part of, and I really appreciate getting to have a role in it.
You're listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS, and our guest on this special year-end drive edition is Jamie Dunn Thomason. And Jamie, you know, as you look at all that information you see coming through IGPA, one of the things we're really curious about is when we get this COVID situation under control, are you seeing what needs to be done, do you think, to get healthy as a state?
Sure. So we have a lot of big challenges. I mean, I think we had a lot of big challenges before this happened. And one of the things that keeps coming up over and over again is that COVID has really exposed a lot of inequity and issues there. So I think that will be a huge part of the conversation going forward. We recently published a report on educators and how they are coping during COVID. You know, they are facing just all kinds of challenges trying to teach maybe online and in person while their own children are possibly, you know, learning remotely, trying to juggle all of that on top of their concerns for their students. And that report was written by Megan Kessler, who's at UIS there. You know, Megan talked to educators all over the state about what they're facing and asked them for some thoughts on, you know, what happens next. And one of the things that surfaced in that was that students and employees of schools are going to come back with more social and emotional challenges and are going to need more support when they return to cope with some of that. So I think we're going to see a lot of need for folks to have healing and support when they get back to whatever life looks like after.
Are you aware of anybody or an organization that is doing something that folks should know about in the community? We always like to try to find new ones here and see what people know.
Oh, geez, here in Springfield, there's been so many. I know you all have talked to a lot of the folks, like the Facebook group that Catherine Eastfold has started. I know that's just incredible. You know, it's amazing to watch people reach out for help and help each other, and folks that have gotten help coming back and helping others. That's just that has been remarkable for me to see during this, of just people, you know, directly helping their neighbors. The Boys and Girls Club, I believe you talked to them as well, but they've been doing amazing work just to make sure that people have what they need and you know, food programs and that sort of thing. So I don't know if I have any that are like a secret gem or anything like that, but those two are two that I've definitely, you know, kind of been keeping an eye on and makes you feel hopeful and makes you proud of our community for supporting each other and taking on all these challenges that are going on right now. So
What are you hoping that the community, the Springfield community, even our listening audience, what are you hoping that we all learn and take away from having this pandemic experience?
Sure. So, you know, as I said, I think that the inequities that have been surfaced, I hope folks really pay attention to that, because it wasn't just COVID that caused those things, but it has made us see, you know, the lack of access to healthcare and other resources and how that's impacting folks all over the state. So I hope we have a lot of conversations about that when we can. You know, the other piece of it is for Springfield, I think how much the business community is struggling. And, you know, I think we're all just waiting for the time when we can see folks be able to pick up and rebuild and see what happens next, because it's very difficult to watch all of these people who we've known for years that run restaurants and businesses and shops, you know, just having such hard times right now. So I think everyone in Springfield is probably looking forward to the time when those folks can rebuild. It's heartbreaking.
Jamie, you wrote in-depth journalism for quite a time with Illinois issues and covered the State House. When you look at how COVID has developed as a story this year, what would you in the past say, you know, was close to being this impactful?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if there's anything, to be honest. You know, I've been so focused on for the last, it's been about 10 years that I've been focused on state government and seen so many huge challenges, especially when we've looked at fiscal issues, looked at revamping, you know, the way schools are funded in our state, which was huge and took years and years. But it's hard to compare any of those to this, because this has just really impacted people's lives in such an intense and visceral way that I'm not sure I have an answer to that. But, you know, it just kind of keep coming back to this concept of all of those challenges will still be there, you know, once we get through this. And so Illinois has a lot of work ahead of it. But I also think that, you know, we have hope in that we can come together after a difficult time and hopefully be a little wiser and you know, be listening to communities and listening to folks about what are our constructive paths forward to answer some of these challenges. In some ways, maybe there is an opportunity here to shift conversations and take new perspectives on things.
Yeah, it's not directly related to COVID, but the income tax amendment didn't pass. And so we're hearing that that leaves the state's financial situation in as much jeopardy as it has been, if not more, because COVID is impacting the revenues and budget of the state. So what can the state, is there a path that the state is going to have to approach to get fiscally healthy?
Sure. So, and I'm not sure if I'm the person to answer that question, but IGPA works with several wonderful budget experts, David Merriman, Kenneth Chris, who's at UIS, who have been working kind of tirelessly on this issue. You know, I don't think there is an obvious Illinois can do A, B, and C necessarily. I will say a little silver lining just from talking to Ken Chris recently is that it looks like the revenue situation may not be as dire as we first projected as far as what was the most dire possible projection. Of course, it's still going to be a huge, huge challenge. And I know Ken's still working on some of that. So I don't have all the answers there yet. But I guess that is to say that IGPA really hopes to be a resource in helping to make sure that people have good information when they are getting to the point of trying to tackle some of those fiscal problems. But it's a big job. And, you know, again, being armed with the facts and with good data on the choices that they have in front of them, I think is really important, and we hope to be a part of that conversation.
Jamie, we usually ask, how did you get to Central Illinois, the Springfield area?
So I'm originally from Mattoon, Illinois, which there is debate on how you pronounce that, but if you're from Mattoon, that's how you pronounce it. so right near Eastern Illinois University, that's where I grew up. I came to Springfield for the Public Affairs Reporting Program, and met my husband in the public affairs reporting program. So we stuck around. I got a job with Illinois Issues right out of that and was so thrilled to come back and work for Illinois Issues. Drew, my husband, found a reporting job right out of school in Kentucky, but he worked his way back to Springfield because I was not leaving covering Illinois government and especially working for public media at the time. So, and we've been here about 10 years and we love Springfield. We're both from smaller towns. So we really enjoy that it's a city that is, you know, feels not like a small town exactly, but you know, you know a lot of people, it's easy to find your way around. We joke that it's just city enough for us, that there's a lot of fun things to do and, you know, cultural offerings and great places to eat and that sort of thing, but it still has sort of a feel of community. And in the 10 years that we've been here, we've gotten to know a lot of wonderful folks across all different walks of life and interest areas. And so we've really enjoyed that a lot.
Would you say, is that what keeps you in Springfield, the cultural experiences and the, you know, mom and pop shops and things like that?
Yeah, that's a big part of it for sure. We really enjoy, you know, just that whole part of things, and the restaurant scene here is great. My husband worked for the Illinois Stewardship Alliance for a little while. It's been quite a while, but so we got introduced to a lot of like farm to table and local food through that. And I think Springfield has grown so much in that area in the time that we've been here. I mean, there have always been folks working really hard on that, but it's just really kind of blown up and there have been a lot of great restaurants open. My mom and my grandmother actually moved here too to be closer to us. So we are very rooted in Springfield now. They live across the street from us. And that has just been, you know, great to have them here and to be close. So, you know, it is a good place for family, I think, and a good place to raise kids. And yeah, and having the university here is also wonderful. And having a public radio station here is also wonderful. So that Springfield has a lot to offer and it's a good place to live.
Another special year-end edition of Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. Thanks to our guests and neighbors who, like you, hear the value in NPR Illinois programs and strongly support them. If you've already donated, thank you. If you haven't, please donate now at nprillinois.org or by calling 217-206-9847. Community Voices airs weekdays at noon and Saturdays at 5 p.m. Find on-demand audio at nprillinois.org. For Randy Eccles, I'm Bea Bonner. Community Voices is a production of NPR Illinois.